The Lord is quite present right now. I don't know who needs to hear this. But the Lord is here. The Lord is near. And His healing, His Spirit is coming. Rest in His Spirit. And know that He cares for you. This has been a unexpected morning, as the title of the book that the women will be studying in the spring. I see these different paths in my life. When I was growing up, I'd go to Hartman Center. It's a UCC church camp up in Milroy off of 322. And we would sing, "We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord." Now that may seem like an old song to me, but at one time back in 1966, it was a praise and worship song. And seeds I promise I'm going to make it through today. If any of y'all are worried about crying, we can get over that right now. Seeds of faith are invaluable. The word of the Lord will not return to His mouth void. We're looking at 2 Corinthians 3 today. And Paul calls the church in Corinth letters of Christ. So what purpose do letters, written correspondence, serve? What do they communicate? How do they keep people connected? And why is this important even today in such a digital age? You know, I was happy to hear that my son would be learning cursive in school because I've been told that they're going to do away with that. And I think about all the historical documents and all the history that would be lost, or even letters not read that are written in the past because they're unable to decipher. So I was glad to hear that he will be learning cursive. What does it mean to be a letter of Christ? We're going to talk about that. We're going to circle back around to that. You see, Paul's writing this part of the book, part of the letter to the Corinthians in response to peddlers that had come in to the gathering and started fronting a different message. So what Paul does is he breaks down the old and the new covenant, the fading glory versus the eternal glory. He talks about glory and veils and transformation. So as we come into this, this is coming out of chapter 2, verses 17. He says, "For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." So these guys came in, and it seems like they were looking for letters of commendation. letters of reference from the Corinthian church, and they may have even been sent with letters, but we believe they were from the Pharisees. They were coming in and telling the church that there was no new covenant, that they should adhere to the law, and that most of all, Paul really wasn't an apostle. They were undermining his authority and his message. And they were teaching them the law again. Now this makes sense if we believe that the Corinthian church was primarily a Gentile group. And there was no clear distinction from outsiders as far as Jewish people and people of the way. People of the way, people of Christ saw this as a fulfillment of all the Jewish prophecies and law. Distinctions would be made a little bit later. So Paul begins to compare the Old and the New Covenants. And a commentator I'd read, Paul Barnett, I'm leaning on him heavily today, and also Barclay. Barnett points to the fact that not only is Paul writing about the Old and New Covenants, but about his way of life and encounter with Christ. So first off, he talks about the glory and the law written in stone, on tablets of stone. Now for point of reference, this is back in Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses is coming down off the mount. I'll just read it. It says, "It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that his skin, the skin of his face, shone because of speaking with him, that is the Lord. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel, what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses replaced the veil over his face until he went in to speak to him." So Moses has these tablets there written on by the hand of God, commandments, as we understand. And when he came down, it's kind of like when we're out in the sun too long. For those of you who are like me, pale, it can be cloudy outside. You can put sunblock on. You're getting sunburnt. It's going to happen. Only instead of the sun, it was the glory of the Lord. And so Moses would come down off the mountain after a meeting with the Lord, and his face would shine. And it frightened, just the reflection coming off of Moses frightened his brother and the sons of Israel. So much so that Moses would then veil his face. And Paul begins to compare the new covenant and the old covenant, how the old covenant was written on stone tablets, where the new covenant is written on the hearts of men. The old covenant had this fading glory. You know, it was only Moses' generation that saw the glory that shone from Moses. No generation after that. And yet, as people turn to Christ, His glory is revealed morning after morning, day after day. It's new every morning. And at the same time, while he's comparing and contrasting, he does acknowledge that the old covenant came in glory. It's an interesting tension. But he says that covenant brought death. And that's even acknowledged in the old, it's acknowledged in Deuteronomy 30, 17 and 18. It says, "But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing in the Jordan to enter and possess it." That it was a ministry of death is what Paul calls it. And what he acknowledges here is that the glory that they revealed, that was revealed to them, was in part. But that the fullness of God, the fullness of His glory, was revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. Where God spoke in part to Moses, He spoke fully through the life of Christ. The power of God was revealed fully in the weakness of flesh, as Jesus took on flesh. That this new covenant, the giver of life, gave His life that we can live. And there were previews of this new covenant in the old. I'm sorry, there's a lot of scripture today. In Jeremiah 31, it says, 31, 31 and following, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and their heart I will, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In Ezekiel 36, 26, it says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." You know, it's interesting. We become what we worship. I had an Old Testament professor, Dave Dorsey, who said the purpose of the law was to reveal the lawgiver. And isn't it interesting that oftentimes when we have laws, we turn to those laws and we can completely miss the purpose, the reason behind them. And it gets legalistic. Barclay notes in his commentary, "A written code can change the law. Only the Spirit can change human nature." A couple thoughts I have to that. A man can do what's perfectly legal within the written law of the land. Laws change with time and culture, but the character of God remains the same. When we look into the law of God, the law of liberty, as James puts it, when we look at the living face of God, He can transform us from the inside out so that we may indeed reflect Him. Being legal and being right, just, or merciful do not always coincide. What Barnett pulled out, what I found was interesting, is that no one knew this better than Paul. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the law in and out. And when they stoned Stephen, he heard Stephen's message. The seed was planted. He cast his lot that Stephen would be put to death. Paul knew the law. And it wasn't until the road to Damascus that Christ showed up. And Paul got a glimpse of what glory looks like. Remember, the Jesus that Paul encountered was not the resurrected Christ that the 500 and the apostles saw. the Jesus that Paul encountered was after he returned to his Father's right hand and was in his full glory. And he showed up to Paul and from that day forward, Paul began to be transformed. His life would never be the same. You know, PBS is running their History of Country Music again. It made me think of Hank. Are you guys feeling a little energetic? Do we have a little bit of energy? Can you join with me a little bit when we... He says, I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Paul had that experience long before Hank. And it changed his life. See, Paul writes, Moses wore a veil, and that those who hear the Scripture without Jesus, those who hear the Scripture without turning to the giver of life, those who hear the Scripture without turning to the Lord are still veiled. That it's only when we turn to Christ that our eyes are open. And we see fully. And He transforms us. He fills us with His promised Holy Spirit, as Jordan read about. And He transforms us by His glory. He writes His law, His commandments on our hearts. Now, Hebrew, Greek thought, hearts is the core of the person. And this is how I understand this. Growing up, you know, we tell our kids what to do and what not to do because we want what's best for them. Kids, we want what's best for you. Trust us. It's not until they put it in practice themselves and they understand that we know as parents we may have done something right. God puts His commandments in our heart, not so that we just obey them for obedience sake. Have we ever obeyed our parents like that too? Do this. Okay. I feel like that's how we treat God sometimes. Don't do this. Not even a little. It goes from not only wanting to be obedient, but naturally flowing out of our lives. This is how we're to live, and this is why. God has written His commandment on my heart. The heart is the core of our being. And we do this. This is where the tension comes into play. We do this by studying the Word. Does God speak to anyone when they study the Word? Don't raise your hands. He speaks to us through the Word. And John tells us when we obey His commands, when we put our faith into action, when our bodies follow through with what our mind and hearts know, that we can practice the very attributes of God. And not only do we do this individually, but we do this as a community. Because all who turn to Christ and live out His commands will reveal God to their neighbors. And that all encompasses natural friends and natural enemies. Because when we turn to Christ, our priorities shift. And this is the thing, transformation takes time. It took time with the Corinthian church. Remember, Paul spoke to them, Peter spoke to them, Apollos, Timothy, Titus. There were four letters sent. But did Paul give up? No, he kept going back because they were marked by transformation. Paul says that they are letters of Christ. And it just hit me this morning. They are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are a letter of Christ. Imagine being put in an envelope. Imagine a hedge of protection being put around you and the Holy Spirit sealing that so that it can go out to others to be read. You are sealed in the Holy Spirit. You are letters of the living Christ. He is writing on your heart right now so that others can see Him transform your life. Paul writes, you are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. We serve a living God. And He wants to encounter and engage us. So for those of us who are older, those who are us are able, plant seed. Because we never know what will happen. Just a little bit about my story. I fought this path for a long time. But I can remember back in middle school, we had a youth Sunday. And me and two others were going to share. And I was completely not prepared. I know it's probably a shock. I read some scripture. I wrote a couple notes down in the morning. I went in. It was two girls who were also speaking. They had like stuff typed out. This is back in like the early 90s. They had stuff typed out in like page. And I'm like, oh man. And as I walked in the office of the pastor, I said, here comes our next pastor. There were seeds planted at camp. There were seeds planted at creation. A gentleman prayed over my brother and I 12, 13 years ago. He thought we were being called to be evangelists. I mean, it still makes me smile. He called us the Sons of Thunder. It's not really. But what's funny to me is that my brother's been in Costa Rica the last 4 years, he and his family. I've been called to this place. I know that sometimes it happens intentionally and sometimes it happens unintentionally. You know, I used to sit in church and I'd listen to a sermon and I would think about how I would do it differently. And then I would condemn myself for questioning the man of God. It made sense later. I had a friend connect with me about 7, 8 years ago on Facebook. Grew up atheist, didn't know this. And we would talk on the bus. If you know me, you know I like to talk. So that's all I was doing. I just bark, 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 bark. And she said, in part because of those conversations, she ended up coming to Christ. I promise you, this is not something I intentionally set out to do. When we speak to others about what Jesus is doing in our life, it plants seed. There are times that I need to proclaim maybe Christ over another person, or proclaim when something is right or wrong. There are other times it happens in everyday conversation. Because you are a letter of Jesus Christ. And He is writing His commands on you so that you begin to naturally, unforcibly live them out. So that when you speak to people, they are reading Christ's letter through you. You know, if you're paying attention, we're a little bit out of order right now. This is chapter 3. We've already covered 4 and 5. God always has a different plan. We are letters, we are ambassadors, we are mouthpieces for Jesus Christ. And we're being read by those within the body and those outside of the body. We are being transformed in our weakness by His glory. How freeing is this? You ever work on a big project and the boss is like, well, it's up to you if it tanks. Good news. It's not up to you. It's not up to us. We need to continually turn to Christ and He will do the work. He will teach us how to love and live in relationship with all of us as He enables. And this is the difference between us and Moses. We don't have to veil anything. We don't have to cover anything. We are free to proclaim what God is doing in and through us. By His Holy Spirit, He enables us to speak. Whether we're at work, at home, as a parent, as a boss, as an employee, He enables us to speak. And part of that message is just calling others to turn to Him. And they will, as they read the letters of our life. Let's have a short word of prayer. Father, we thank You for today. I thank You for Your Spirit here. I thank You for what You're doing right now, what You have done through this entire service. I thank You for the old hymns and the new praise songs. I pray, Lord, that as we continually turn to You, that You may transform us by Your Holy Spirit, that You may write Your commands on our hearts, that we just naturally, unforcibly live them out. That wherever we go, people may read Your letter through us, and we may plant seeds of faith, that their lives may be transformed. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, and we pray for the Sauls of Nigeria, that You may plant seed through one of Your servants and show up. And Your Spirit may move through one of our natural enemies in a way that we cannot even hope or imagine, just as You did with Paul. We thank You, Father. We lift this all to You in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope the message you've just heard has brought you closer to Jesus. If it has, or if you'd like to learn more about God or about His Word, the Bible, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at area code 717-898-0181, or you can email us at office@hemfieldcob.org. If you happen to be in the Lancaster or Mannheim area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Sunday mornings. You can find details and directions at hemfieldcob.org. And now, from all of us at Hemfield Church of the Brethren, we'd just like to wish you and yours a wonderful and blessed week. The music in this recording has been graciously provided by and performed by Kevin McLeod, www.incompetech.com.